Just would like to set the stage a little bit. The sermon today is entitled Remembering Our Lord. If you remember from what we would normally do this coming week, we would generally have something this Palm Sunday. Perhaps Miss Ricky or someone would have the kids with palms. We would have a sermon that dealt with the kingship of Christ or something leading us in that direction. And then, of course, Thursday would be our Maundy Thursday, where we would observe communion and talk about what this means for us. And so with that not being possible this week, I would like to bring us together this day around the teaching of the observance of communion and what that means. And I've titled this Remembering Our Lord, and it comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. And when the hour came, he, Jesus, reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup, after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Your thought for today is this: the glory of Christ's sacrifice directs our steps on the path to righteousness. The glory of Christ's sacrifice directs our steps on the path to righteousness. We've been having some lessons with the deacon candidates. And yes, we will one day have an election for those men. But we were finishing up the teaching for the deacon candidates, and we had gotten to the point of the sacraments, and a thought came across my heart. I've used this illustration before, and you may or may not have remembered it. But a thought came across my heart about the movie Saving Private Ryan. Now, I'm going to use this movie as an illustration, and it's going to be a running theme, I should say, throughout what I have prepared to share with you today. But I'm not recommending the movie, okay, because sometimes you have to be careful when you talk about current events, and people sometimes will say, well, maybe he's wanting us to watch it. I'm not wanting you to watch the movie unless you want to. It's a tough movie to watch. I like to watch World War II epic movies because of the attachment I had to my father. And he was in World War II, and I wanted to understand, like most veterans who returned from active combat, he didn't want to talk about a whole lot of things that happened there. And so this kind of gives me an appreciation, even though it is Hollywood, but it kind of gives me an appreciation of what those veterans endured. Perhaps you might think the same way too about those that you love that have come back from those kinds of conflicts. And so it gives me a better understanding of who they were as men and women facing these conflicts. So again, I'm not recommending this movie for you to watch. It is a tough movie to watch. That's why I watched it. But the end of that movie really touched me in a way that every time I go back and watch those scenes, or those scenes come across my heart, I'm flooded with the thoughts of Christ on the cross and the sacrifice he gave, and the impact that it should have on our hearts. And that's what I shared with the deacon candidates that night as we were finishing up our time of study. And I want to share that with you as well. The Lord's Supper, or communion as we call it, is to encourage us to remember the sacrifice of Christ. encourage us to remember the sacrifice of Christ. Christ said it right here, "This do in remembrance of me." And so what he wants us to do as we worship together and come together with the bread and the cup is to remember that sacrifice. And he even pointed out various elements of that sacrifice to represent his body and his blood. Of course, you know, that's the bread and the cup. And what this movie reminds me to do is to let those elements, as you hold them, remind us that we are to honor the magnitude of that sacrifice. Honor it by how we live our lives in appreciation for what was given to us. Now, for those of you who have not seen the movie, or who may not have, or who may have seen it and it's a little foggy right now, let me bring you to what I really want to use of the movie to illustrate what I am hoping to plant within your mind this day, a picture of what I want you to carry away from this time together. There toward the end, the plot of the movie, if you will, Private Ryan is the last surviving member of his home. His brothers, who are also in the war, have all been killed. The army finds out about this. The politicians in Washington, D.C. want to bring Ryan back home safely so that his mother will have at least one surviving member of her children. And so Captain Miller and his unit is given the task of, number one, finding Ryan, and number two, saving Private Ryan, as the movie's title goes. Captain Miller's unit fights their way to where Ryan is. There's an epic battle there at the end. Captain Miller is mortally wounded. Ryan finds him leaning up beside a motorcycle as his life ebbs away. And there, in that scene, Ryan is brought close to Miller. Miller brings him close, and he says to Ryan, "To earn this, to earn it." And what he was telling Ryan is to make this make your life honor the magnitude of the sacrifice that was given to you this day and in days before, so that you could be liberated, so that you could be saved, so that you could be taken away from this hell and delivered back into the safety of your home. When I saw that, it made such an impact on me that that's the cross. And that's what Jesus is reaching out to us and trying to tell us as he wanted us to observe. And we'll come back to that movie in just a little bit. But just keep that picture in your mind right now. We cannot earn the benefits of the cross. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." And so we are glad that Christ said, "It is finished," and not "earn this," as Ryan was exhorted to by Miller. But the point is that Miller was saying, make your life represent the magnitude of the sacrifice that was given for you, and appreciate the magnitude of that sacrifice. So I don't want you to confuse that illustration with where we are theologically with Christ. Theologically with Christ, it is finished. Our salvation is earned. But yet what we do in remembrance of the payment for our sins there on the cross that day, when we remember that life of Christ, there is an exhortation in that communion to say, let your life honor the magnitude of that sacrifice. So what is the magnitude of that sacrifice? What is it that we remember in that supper? If you remember back in Exodus 12, where the foundation of our present day communion was laid, and that was in the first observance of Passover. Israel was in bondage in Egypt. This was going to be the 10th plague that was coming up, where God was going to bring a curse upon the firstborn of all in that region. The only thing that would save the firstborn from death, from this plague, was going to be the obedience to God's command to kill a lamb, whether it was a sheep or a goat, but it was 1 year old. It had to be free of blemish, and it had to, and its blood had to be sprinkled over the doors and the lintel posts of the doors, over the top and the lintel posts of the doors. Its flesh had to be consumed along with the bitter herbs that reminded Israel of the bitterness of their slavery. But it also gave a nutrition, it gave energy for the journey that God was getting ready to give to them, because they were going to come out of sin, as we see Egypt today as a metaphor for sin in Scripture. But they were going to come out of that bondage of Egypt, and they needed energy for that journey. And so this meal was to be eaten in haste. And God said, you remember this meal because you remember what God has done for you this day in taking you away from your bondage and delivering you into the freedom of being in God's hands and in God's care. And so that has laid the foundation. And what Jesus and his followers were doing this night when Jesus instituted what we have come to know as the Lord's Supper or communion is they were observing Passover. They were being good Jews and they were observing Passover. And so as they were there observing Passover, there were several cups that were passed around. That's why Luke here mentions two cups. The other gospel writers only mention the one after supper. But there were four cups in total. And so the first cup that he said was to be shared. They were to drink out of the same cup. And then the cup after supper was the cup of redemption, more than likely. And it was that cup that Jesus labeled the cup of the new covenant in his blood. But before that, he gave them to eat the bread as he blessed it and broke it and handed it to them. And he said, this is my body. So what is it in that supper now that the bread and the juice reminds us of? We are reminded of the forgiveness of sins. We are reminded of the blood of Christ that was shed for us. Life was required from man in Adam. And that life that was required of perfection in Adam was now given to us in Christ. He was that lamb without blemish. The lamb without sin. What Adam could not do, Christ completed. Again, that's why we call Christ the second Adam. Because in Christ, what Adam could not fulfill has been fulfilled. And so the body that we remember as we hold that morsel of bread within our hands, as we contemplate on what God is wanting us to remember here, as we try to feel the magnitude of that gift, we are remembering that life of perfect obedience. We are remembering that life was given to us in what we call imputed righteousness. The righteousness that Christ earned by being perfectly obedient to God. As Christ was born into the same jurisdiction of the law of God that Adam was created into. Christ was born of a woman, Scripture tells us. He was flesh and blood, but yet fully God. And he was born under the law. And so what Christ had to do was to serve that law perfectly so that he could fulfill and complete the desire God had for his creation. What mankind could not do, represented by Adam, and now in us, we cannot live perfect lives. Christ did complete. And because he did now, that life is now a benefit of us. That calls into that aspect of being in union with Christ. There's a theme in Scripture that runs all the way through that theme, where man and God are in communion. Man and God are together. We see that in the Garden of Eden. We see that in the worship in the tabernacle and later on in the temple, where man is in the presence of God, but yet in a limited way and only after going through the ceremony of being cleansed. We see that in manifestation in the person of Christ himself, where mankind and God were joined together in union. in the God-man Christ. We also see that now because Christ said he must leave so that the Spirit can come. And when that Spirit comes, that Spirit then fills the hearts of mankind so that once again mankind and God are together in union. And we see evidence of that as God wanted to remind us in the marriage bond, where he says the two shall become one flesh, and the seriousness that God takes that, where God called himself the husband to Israel because he wanted pictures of his desire for mankind to be before us at all times and to reflect and to represent his desire to be with us. And so in that union that we have with Christ, we have all of the benefits that Christ earned by his perfect obedience are now ours when we come to him in faith and we are joined together with him through the imparting of that Spirit within the hearts of man. And then the blood of Christ that was shed for the remission of sins as the blood of that lamb, that substitutionary sacrifice that laid the foundation for Passover, as that Lamb of God, as John the Baptist called Christ, now gave his blood for the remission of sins. That blood now paid the price so that mankind and God could come back together again. That lamb's blood substituted. Because Scripture says, why blood? Scripture says the life is in the blood. The life of Adam was required to be surrendered to God, both in a commitment to obedience, but also in a requirement for the penalty of disobedience. And now through Christ, that was completed. Both the full surrender of giving to God a life of complete obedience and also the penalty of giving a life for the disobedience that we deserve. And so those are the things that we remember in a nutshell. I don't have time in my briefer time here with you, but those are the things that we remember in our celebration of communion. Now, how does that communion now affect our lives? How does the glory of the sacrifice direct our steps to the path of righteousness, as your thought for today is? At the end of the movie, Saving Private Ryan, a much older Ryan now comes with his family. He's come back to visit the cemetery of Normandy. I cannot pronounce the French name of the town that is near, but it's the Normandy Cemetery in France. It's the one that you've seen pictures of with all the white crosses laid out in perfection so that each way you look, you see them perfectly aligned with each other. And he finds Captain Miller's cross there marking Miller's grave. And he stands before it and all of the memories come back to him. All of the memories flood over him of what was given for him that day in order to bring him safely back to his family. And he becomes emotional and his wife comes to check on him and he turns to his wife and he says, tell me that I've lived a good life. Tell me that I've been a good man. Because he remembers the sacrifice. Ryan remembered the sacrifice and appreciated the sacrifice because it was the impact of a shared life experience that he had with Miller. See, Ryan was fighting to remember. He knows the fear. He knows the courage. He knows the impact of that sacrifice that was given for him that day because he was there experiencing it. Regrettably, the church today does not appreciate the sacrifice like the early church did. That life-altering impact of a shared experience where that sacrifice was seen and felt, as in Ryan's case, is far removed from the church today. The early church knew the hand of Roman rule. The early church knew the impact of and the cruelty of crucifixion because they had seen it firsthand. Perhaps one of their loved ones had experienced it. We are sheltered in a way from having the full impact of what Christ physically endured, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But the people there who witnessed the death of Christ that day, they saw his physical condition. They saw him suffering on the cross. They saw him die. Some of them handled his lifeless body and placed it in that borrowed tomb. And so the impact of that sacrifice was fresh on their minds. It was fresh on their parents' minds as they handed down the story of what they witnessed that day. And they felt it in a way that we cannot. And so it altered the way that they lived their life, because they appreciated the gift that was given in a way that you and I can't, because they were there. They experienced it. We all know that the farther away we get from an event, the more the memory of that event and the impact of it on our memories and our lives, it wanes. We hear the stories of foxhole confessions where under duress people promise God lots of things that get forgotten once the terror of the moment passes. And those things that we promise God become also distant memories the further back our times of duress and strife are. And so the church today has reached a point where we're 2,000 years removed from being able to witness what Christ went through. And so it is up to us that we are to receive this impact of Christ's death by faith. It must be taken by faith. There's an old hymn, old spiritual, that asks us, were you there when they crucified our Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the grave, taking down from the cross? And to use a verse from that hymn to alter it a moment, we were not there when they crucified our Lord. And so to assimilate the effects within our souls, we have to go on faith. That what Scripture relates to us is true. That God Himself endured a terrible death on a cross so that you and I could be liberated, so that you and I could have freedom from our sins, so that you and I could live a life with our loved ones, because God gave His for His loved ones. That lamb's body that was sacrificed during that first Passover there in Egypt was assimilated into the bodies of God's people as the preparation for their journey. We have a terminology called feeding on Christ that we also remember as we partake of this communion that we celebrate. Jesus Himself even reminds us of this in John 6. As He says, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Can you imagine the impact that had on those listening to Jesus that day? As He fed the 5,000, and now He went over into teaching, where He says, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood if you're going to live, if you're going to have life. And of course, his critics jumped right on him and said some of his followers at that particular point in his ministry didn't follow him anymore. This guy is a little crazy here. How are we going to eat his flesh? How are we going to drink his blood? But what Jesus was saying is that let the impact of what I'm going to do for you alter your life. Let your life be lived in a way that honors the sacrifice that's going to be given for you. Allow me to bring my spirit to you and to join together with you in a way that my accomplishments can now be yours, imputed to you, given to you, being spiritually assimilated into us, to give us the spiritual energy and the spiritual confidence we need to face the challenges that each of us face each day, as we face our personal battles with our personal sins, as we face all of the stuff that the world throws at us, wanting to pull us away, wanting to divert our attentions, wanting to take us away from the pathway of righteousness. Saving Private Ryan builds to its climax of the magnitude of the sacrifice that was given so Private Ryan could be returned to his mother is appreciated by the viewer. Scripture's account of Christ's sacrifice is not so violent as it relates. It's a lot tamer. It's up to us to read history to see how Christ was punished, how Christ suffered even before he was hung upon the cross. We have movies like The Passion of the Christ that so vividly portrayed that. And after that movie, he-men that I knew were in tears. They were so moved by seeing the physical beating that Christ took for us. Before, that was just in preparation for what the cross was going to do in sapping the life blood, the life out of Christ. He freely put himself on that cross. He freely gave his life, but the cross was very cruel. And even the preparation to be put upon the cross was cruel. Iron-clad whips cut flesh. Thorns ate into his flesh. That cross unmercifully drained life. We dwell so much on that physical pain and suffering of the cross, we lose sight of the fact that Scripture kind of glosses over it. Read the account. And he was crucified. There was a person on this side and a person on this side. And it talked about he thirsted. He gave the care of his mother to who we believe to be John, the disciple. There was those sayings from Jesus from the cross. His side was pierced after he had died. All of those things, but in the scriptural portrayal of those, very tame. But I want to bring your attention to one thing that you may overlook as you're reading the accounts of Christ's death on the cross as we lead up to celebrating his resurrection next Sunday. If you read the account of Scripture where it said that darkness covered the earth, creation itself could not look upon the time when righteousness took up corruption for our sake. Have you ever thought about that? Light itself retreated when God took on corruption so that you and I could have life. If dealing with sin was horrible enough that creation itself had to look away, while sin was dealt with on the cross, what do you think God is saying to us as he speaks to us through the commemoration of his son's death? I hope that the illustration that I shared with you from that movie helps you to see that it's the impact of that sacrifice that we remember. It is the impact of that sacrifice that as we hold those elements in our hands, that Christ is speaking to us through those elements saying, remember what I gave for you. And it wasn't the physical beating, it wasn't the agony of the cross and the physical aspect. It was the horror of perfection becoming imperfection that I want you to remember. And that is the impact of that sacrifice that we take on within ourselves. That is how horrible God sees sin. We can suffer physically, and that's part of the Christian life. Because Christ suffered, we will suffer. Scripture lays that out for us. But what God wants us to remember is how horrible sin is. How horribly He sees its impact on the lives of people that He cares so much about. And He wants us to remember the great sacrifice that was given. And we are encouraged to allow the magnitude of that sacrifice to alter the way we live our lives. That our lives may reflect our appreciation of the magnitude of that sacrifice, of all that was given to us that day on the cross. The love of God, the perfection of God, took on the corruption of sin so that you and I could be freed from it. Think about that this week as we lead up to the glory of Resurrection Sunday next week. And the next time we're able to come together and celebrate communion, as you hold those elements, remember the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, and the encouragement and exhortation in those two things that says, let your life honor the magnitude of the sacrifice that was given so that you and I could have freedom from our guilt of sin and enjoy eternal life with the Father. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you in thanksgiving for all that you have done for us, and we just ask now that you will in some way allow us to feel and appreciate the magnitude of the sacrifice that was given for us that day on Calvary. Father, if any image that was planted this day goes toward that, then I pray your blessing upon that image. But may we, Father, honor the magnitude of the sacrifice that was given for us by how we live our lives. May it reflect the glory of that sacrifice. Father, we appreciate and come to you in thanksgiving for all that you offer to us and remind us of, not only in Easter, but each Sunday we come together, of the love that you have for your people. I pray this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you once again for being with us, and now receive the blessing of the Lord. And may the love of the Father in heaven, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of their eternal Holy Spirit go with you. And in that Holy Trinity, I bid you find your peace. Amen.